the monks and nuns at the time being who strove after supreme highest enlightenment. Numerous as sons of Ganges applied themselves to the commandment of the Sunyata. The number 86. And the monk who then was the preacher of the law and the keeper of the law, Balaprabha, expounded for fully 80 intermediate kalpas, the highest law according to the commandment of the Sunyata. In other words, Buddha's teaching is his teaching is eternal truth, beginningless and endless. And Bodhisattva, Balaprabha, expounded it for fully 80 intermediate kalpas of that. In other words, from limitlessly long time. Number 87, he had 800 pupils who all of them were by him brought to full development. They saw many qualities of Buddhas, great sages when they worshipped, whom they worshipped. He had 800 pupils. This is different from the cross path. This place is cross path. The path accord. It doesn't accord with this path. Now it happened so. Page 22. Now it happened. Now it so happened. Ajita, that's the eighth son of the Lord, Chandra, Surya, Pradipa, Mati, and the rest were pupil to that very Bodhisattva, Balaprabha. Enlightenment, they were by him made ripe for supreme perfect enlightenment, and in after times they saw and worship many hundreds, thousands, myriads of qualities of Buddhas, all of whom had attained supreme perfect enlightenment. The last of them being Dipankara, the Tathagata, the completely enlightened one. And here, it says, he had 800 pupils, who all of them were by him brought to full development. They saw many qualities of Buddhas, great sages whom they worshipped. And next one, 88, by following the regular course they become Buddha in several spheres, and as they followed one another immediate succession, they successively foretold each other's future destiny to Buddhaship. The last of those Buddhas following one another was Dipankara. Supreme God of God, honored by crowds of sages, educated thousands of cottages of living beings, Dipankara. Dipankara Buddha is supposed to be the Buddha who gave Jukki. I explained Jukki already. In Sanskrit, Vyakarana. To tell one's future, future attainment. You will attain enlightenment, and you will be born in such and such place, and will attain enlightenment. And your name will be such and such. This is Jukki. And Dipankara Buddha is supposed to be the Buddha who gave Shakyamuni Buddha Jukki. When Shakyamuni Buddha in his former life, he studied under this Bodhisattva. And when this Bodhisattva came to the Madhi place, Shakyamuni Buddha spread his hair over the Madhi place. Because after he spread many things, but Madhi is so wide that the rug he gathered could not cover it. So after all, Shakyamuni Buddha in his former life spread his hair over the muddy place and let this Dipankara Buddha pass the muddy place. And this is why we bow, feeling Buddha's foot on our hand, three times like this. This is the Buddha. Or another story is told, something similar, quite different, anyway, Dipankara Buddha is the Buddha who gave Jukki to Buddha. Maybe the last Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha's third. The another story is there were in ancient time there were great king or maybe kings and food minister was very wise and he was so wise that the king gave the half of his country, half of his world, you know, not country, big whole world, half of the whole world to him. And he had a bright boy who became later a great teacher or a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. Anyway, he became a Bodhisattva maybe. I don't know what to say. Bodhisattva. And and he was so, he was so good that his father, or excuse me, his father sent him to his brother's, to his brother, who was a great scholar. He studied under him and became a Bodhisattva. And the father was very much proud of him, and he brought him to his home and listened to his sermon. And again, he brought him to the to his former king or master or king. Whom he helped, the king who he helped, and he went to they went to the borderline of the country, because in half of the country it was his own, the other half was the former king's country. So they went to the border of the canton and gave him a great sermon. Since then, the king, many hundreds of cottages of Kalpas of time, sent various offerings to that teacher. And later, that teacher became Dipankara Bodhisattva. And that king who helped the Dipankara Buddha was the Buddha himself. So when Dipankara Buddha, Dipankara Bodhisattva became enlightened and true teacher of the whole world, Buddha became his disciple and studied, and he received Jukhi from Dipankara Buddha. All of those stories means the eternal, you know, teaching, which is always with every being from endless, from beginningless beginning to endless end, and that is what means. And next one, among the people of Brahma, the son of Jina, at the time of his teaching the law, was one slothful, covetous, greedy of gain and clever. Greedy of gain and clever. And this I explained already. And this here, it says clever. But in cross part, it says brave. And the original word, original text, it has two, the original words may not be the same, because according to the result of the study of many scholars, this sutra was held, had been observed, held, had been held, or had been held in India, had been held by some group. Like Zen Center, maybe. Zen Center had a special scripture, which was called Lotus. We had Lotus. And we had many branches. And at the Sahara, we will make some translation. At San Francisco, or Los Altos, or Berkeley, they may make translation. But at the Sahara, we will change our translation. So, originally, it was not. There was no the scripture they hold, they used, was not the same. That is why we have so many translations, so many original texts, and so many kinds of translations. The original, they had many kinds of original texts, and many various people in various countries translated it. So naturally, there must be many kinds of translation. It is quite natural.
Okay. Does the Japanese translation, say, and the Chinese translation, the one by Dogen and the one in Chinese, they're not word for word, they're just the symbolism is different. Is that so?
Word is also nearly the same, not so different.
Here is the same as the tries to make it word for word. That was pretty difficult, but he didn't try to change the symbolism to fit British symbolism. The British scholar translated it.
They, no.
I was wondering if they changed the symbolism to fit, say, Japanese symbolism.
No, no, they don't. They try to, you know, be faithful to the original, you know, word by word, when they translated it. Even Kumarajiva's translation, you know, who is very, his translation is they say, you know, his translation is very, not literal translation, they say, but actually it is very, you know, it is you may say this and that is the literal translation. So if they have, you know, original text, the Chinese scholar and Tibetan scholar, Nepalese translation, and Nepal translation, are very faithful to the word by word translation, and they discuss this word. This word should be this word, translated from this word, not that word. This kind of discussion is still going on. So that we should be faithful to the original text.
And Dogen did this too?
Dogen Zenji did not translate. Commentary. He expressed, you know, his way of understanding of this sutta. And almost all the time he writes something, he referred to this sutta. And some, at least two passages, Juki and Hokke Tenboke, it's his own, you know, special understanding of this sutta. And we should understand this way, he said. Almost word by word translation. But Kumarajiva's contribution was that he for instance, there is 100 gyatas, you know. But Kumarajiva sometimes put two, you know, gyatas together so that they can understand it easily. As you must have seen, one long sentence, you know, divided in two, you know, because of the so that to put them in gyata style. But Kumarajiva, you know, put emphasis on more the meaning of the sutta. So for Chinese people, Kumarajiva's translation was easy to understand. That was a big reason why this sutra was appreciated Chinese people so much. He was also excessively and desirous of glory, but very fickle, so that he saw that the lessons dictated to him and his own reading fade from his memory as soon as learned. This is already I explained. Dohen Zenji was very faithful to the this sutra, you know, and he was very much impressed about with those, you know, with those gathers. He is very strict with the, to have worldly desires as a Buddhist. And as a Buddhist, we should not have even the desire to expect the enlightenment. That was, you know, strict observation of this sutra, you may say. Of course, that was his character. You know. His character was so pure and lofty, and he didn't mind anything but truth. He would give all his, you know, body and mind to the truth. That was his idea, his way. At 92, his name was Yasas Kama. By which he was known everywhere. Yasas Kama means desires of glory. And by the accumulated merit of that good action, spotted as it was, but he helped, you know, people very much. So, with this merit, he attained enlightenment. And 93, he propitiated thousands of coteys of Buddhas, whom he rendered ample honor. He went through the regular course of duties and saw the present Buddha Shakyamuni. He shall be the last to reach. He shall be the last to reach supreme enlightenment and become a lord known by the family name of Maitreya, who shall educate thousands of coteys of creatures. Maitreya was actually, you know, historical disciple. Historical character, a disciple of Buddha. Many stories are told about him. In his Buddha's aunt who raised Buddha when he was young gave golden embroidered golden embroidery, kesa of gold embroidery to Buddha.
But when you write something, the sentence on the board, make you make a correction. I did correct it. He was amazed. Did you see? Sometimes little fears about it is missing, you know. Here and there, it is missing. But little fears about it. What kind of thing I should do? War.
gold embroidery sticker. But one disciple wears that one. The future, my career. Who received, who was supposed to be that Buddha, who was supposed to attain embassy. After all of the disciples attained embassy. He was something like this Bodhisattva in his former life. He was called desires of growth. Something like as Buddha was very very glad that he wears. But maybe because of that he received that kind of duty. To be a rash Buddha. This is interesting. Buddha was glad that he was. That he was not so good. If I were a Shakyamuni Buddha, I shall be very angry. I shall not be happy to see one of his disciples is not so good, treading wrong path. But Buddha was very patient, and he was very glad. He thought eventually he will attain enlightenment. I think this is why Dogen Zenji always says, we will, all of us, eventually will attain enlightenment. There is no need to, you know, to expect attainment. Sooner or later, everyone will attain enlightenment because we have the knowledge. As a Buddhist, we must have this kind of deep mind and deep scale of practice, not matter of today or tomorrow, or this year or next year. Lord, he shall be the last to be superior enlightenment and become a Lord known by the family name by my prayer, who shall educate thousands of cottages of creatures. And 95, he who then, under the rule of extinct Sunyata, was so thrustful Sir?
Yes.
So, okay. was thyself, and it was I who then was the preacher of the Manjushri was the preacher, and Rasa one was my career. As on seeing a foretalk of this kind, I recognize a sign such as I have seen manifested of your, therefore, and on that account I know. As on seeing for a token of this kind, I recognize a sign such as I have seen, and at that place, in some translation, it says, at that place, manifested of your, therefore, and on that account I know. 97, that decidedly the chief of demons, the supreme king of the kings, kings of the Shakyas, the all-seeing, who knows the highest truth, is about to pronounce the excellent sutra which I have heard before. The same sutra he will proclaim. And the highest truth is this Daiichi. It translates Daiichi in Chinese scripture. The highest truth is about to pronounce the excellent sutra which I have heard before. And this is the question the emperor who asked Bodhidharma what is the first place. The first place. Bodhidharma said, I don't know. I don't know its first place. Do you understand? The first principle is cannot be known in terms of good or bad, right or wrong, because it is both right and wrong. That very sign displayed at present is the proof of skillfulness of the leaders, the lion of the Shakyas, is to make an exhortation to declare the fixed nature of the law, the fixed nature of the law, true nature of the law. or ultimate nature. Be well prepared and well minded. Join your hands. Put your hands together. Join your hands. He who is affectionate and merciful to the world is going to speak, is going to pour the endless rain of the law and refresh those that are waiting for enlightenment. And if some should feel doubt, uncertainty, or misgiving in any respect, shall remove it for his children. The Bodhisattvas here, striving after enlightenment. This is the last one, last part. I think you must have understood the nature of our teaching. This is the oriental tree. You don't know which way its root is going. It is rather difficult for you to figure out which way the root is going. And if you know which way the root of Buddhism is going, it may be easier to understand. And how the trunk of the tree of Buddhism is supported by the root. There's characteristics in the way of making our effort. To which direction we make our effort is very interesting to know. For you, maybe. And human effort. If our human effort is directed all the same direction by all the human beings, that is a dreadful destiny. So everyone should strive for in his own way, and everyone should find out his own way to develop himself. Even though each one of us making different efforts, as long as we have Buddha nature, as long as all the effort is supported by Buddha nature, there is no problem. When we don't know that our everyone's effort is supported by the same ground and attached to one's own way, rejecting the other, rejecting or ignoring the other's way, and insisting upon his own way, then that is in confusion. So, we Buddhists, you know, put emphasis on each one's own way. Especially this sutra put emphasis on each one's own way and meaning of each one's own being. And at the same time, as you must have understood already, this sutra provides us a big common ground for every one of us, where we can enjoy